Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered, Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I come from or where I'm going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet, even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law, it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. They said to him, therefore, Where is your Father? Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. So he said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, Will he kill himself, since he says, Where I am going, you cannot come? He said to them, You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So they said to him, Who are you? Jesus said to them, Just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him. They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
So my name's Mike. I'm one of the pastors here. Usually when I come up to do the announcements, I'll introduce whoever the guest preacher is, but I forgot to do it, so I'm going to do it now. Today, one of our members, Yohanse Stringfield, is going to be preaching to us. We believe that when God's word is rightly explained and applied to the lives of God's people, then it is God himself within the church. And in fact, it is our hope and our prayer that as the church continues to grow in our mission to make disciples of Jesus, that we will also make more disciple makers who are able to teach his word in the gathering of his church. And so we'd like to give men in our church who we've identified as guys who could potentially be elders in the future, opportunities to preach God's word and to grow in their own ability to preach the word. And also for us to grow in our ability to hear the word. Because sometimes when we get used to hearing the word from one particular preacher, it becomes more about hearing that preacher than hearing God speak. So as Yohanse comes forward today, he's going to be preaching his first sermon in church today. And let's all of us listen attentively, not just to Yohanse's word, but listen attentively to God's word as he preaches it. So Yohanse, come on forward.
I find it kind of funny how today's sermon is on the light of the world, and today the lights went off in here. But as you notice, we still kept singing in the darkness. In City Light, when you find yourself in those dark places of life, you know, in the midnight hour, you still keep worshiping God, still keep singing his praises, even when the darkness is surrounding you. So I find it to be a beautiful picture. I don't know if God did that on purpose, but God, thank you for that visual image that he gave us today. So let's pray this morning. Father, we echo what the psalmist said, that better is one day spent in your courts than thousands spent elsewhere. So, Father, we come into this place bringing in our tears, a jar of oil, and kisses for you, Lord. We're not here for stuff. We're not here for blessings. We're simply here to behold your beauty. So, Father, we know that the atmosphere in this room can change because the Spirit of the living God is here. So, Father, we say that you can supernaturally do anything you want to do right now. Have your way. Amen. So City Light, please don't judge me, but I have this weird love-hate relationship with the nighttime. So as soon as the sun goes down, it's dark outside, I get a bit weird. Nothing crazy, just a bit different, a bit weird. Because for me, the most productive hours of the day is 10 and 1 in the morning, because I'm able to focus, get my work done, and concentrate. But also, my favorite time of the day is late at night, because that's the best time to go to Waffle House, I believe, is late at night. Now, for us Southerners in the room, Waffle House is everything to us. It's a place of wonder and excitement. And anytime you see something weird at night, go to Waffle House, and you see some weird things. But also, like, I hate it at night because when you have my skin tone and it's dark outside and you want to take a photo and, like, the lighting is terrible and then you can't use your camera well, city light, I don't show up in the photos all that often. So I remember a couple years ago, I was still living in Atlanta, Georgia, and I was grabbing dinner with some friends over in West Midtown, and a friend of mine wanted to take a photo with us. And I'm thinking to myself, my skin tone at night and this terrible lighting, I was like, maybe, Lauren, is it possible we head back inside where the lighting is better? Or even wait till tomorrow morning when the sun is out, like how it is right now on my face. But she said, we can't do that, so let's take the photo here. So we take the photo, and seconds later, people are asking me, Yohansi, are you in the photo? Where are you at? And now I'm looking city light. I'm like, I think I'm in the, wait, where am I in this picture, though? And city light, I promise you, in the top right corner, all you see is just two white dots and just teeth smiling in the photo. So ever since then, I don't do photos at night. I know it's weird, but please don't take a photo of me at night. So city light, I believe that parts of our hearts, our lives are kind of like that. We have like this weird love-hate thing going on. Parts of us, we enjoy being in the light, but also parts of us, we're in the shadows, we're in the darkness. So this morning, what is that thing keeping you in the dark from following Christ this morning? So today's passage, we see that Jesus is the light of the world. Therefore, we follow him out of darkness, we judge correctly, and we believe. So in verse 12, he starts out with these two powerful words, I am. Now, city light, when these religious leaders heard these words, oh, they should have had goosebumps. They should have had chills down their spine. Because if these were intelligent Jewish men who understood the Hebrew text and the Torah, a light bulb should have came on. Because if they recall the last time somebody said the words, I am, a voice came out of a burning bush speaking to their forefather Moses, saying, Moses, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. Moses, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh to tell him to let my people go. And Moses, if he asks who sent you, you tell him, I am, has sent me to you. I am that I am. I be that I be. I have been, I be, I will be. City Light Church, this is one of the covenant names of God. In Hebrew, it's known as Yahweh. For us, we call him Jehovah. I am God. I be God. Now, I know for all the English teachers in the room, you're thinking to yourself right now, God has bad grammar. You're right, it's bad grammar, but it's good theology. Because in this moment, Jesus making that connection back to the burning bush moment. That was him in the burning bush. But as we see, some saw it and they believe. Others, they missed it. So my prayer for you this morning is that while you're here in this space, you don't miss a thing. The presence and the glory of God is here in the room, City Light. Catch it if you can. Now we continue in the verse, and he states that he is the light. Church family, he is that eternal light, a light that never fades, a light that never goes out. He is that light that points us back to the Father. He is the light of life, and Jesus is the source of all things. All of life flows from the presence of God. Church family, you were made to live in the light. You were made for the presence of God. And also, we see that this light cannot be put out by the darkness. In verse 12, he says that he is the light of the world. Notice the world, not just a part or a person, just the world. City Light Church, if you cannot preach the gospel on every continent, then guess what? It's not the gospel. The gospel is not just for middle-class Americans. The gospel is for the kids in the inner city. The gospel is for the DACA dreamers. It's for the Afghan and Ukrainian refugees. The gospel is for the unreached people groups across the world. City Light Church, this is God's desire, that all the nations will know him and praise him. This is the heartbeat of God. So this morning, we get our hearts synced to his heartbeat. What matters to him, it matters to us. So we take this great light to the nations. I'll just say this morning for this church, global missions is not an option for you, for us, this church. We take this great light. And then he says that this is for everyone and anyone. Church family, this ought to bless you this morning, knowing that God can use anyone and everyone for his glory. But here's the fine print. You have to be willing to submit and follow God, as it says in the verse. Now, I know in time, anytime you say the words submit and follow God in church, people tend to have some sort of spiritual allergic reaction to that word, because nobody wants to hear the word follow. And I get it. We live in a culture that tells us, you're your own boss. You do what you want. It's your life. But as we see, City Light Church, there is an authority that you have to follow. The past 8 weeks, we study on church authority. There is a perfect authority that you have to submit to. It's God's holy authority. It's for your good and for his glory ultimately. We see in this passage that Jesus makes it so simple and clear. It's simple. Follow him. There is no mystery. There is no guessing game. You follow Christ. I think in a world where there's so many different truths, so many different paths, the gospel can get hazy at times in our lives. But he tells the crowd, you walk out of darkness and follow him. I believe one reason why we stay in the darkness is many reasons. I don't have time to go through all today, though. But I believe a few is our sins keep us in the dark. If we're honest, maybe we are comfortable with our sins. I'll take it a step further. Maybe we love our sins. City Light Church, the thing about sin is that if you don't confront it, it doesn't shrink over time. It just gets bigger and bigger. So I encourage you this morning to kill your sin, or guess what? It will be killing you. Another reason we stay in the dark is because of fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of following Christ, because there is no Google Maps on this journey. There is no Atlas map. Or maybe that's like early 2000 Atlas maps, I believe. Nobody has those? Okay. But on this journey, he says, follow, and it's frightening and it's scary, and I get it. During the pandemic, I discovered two things that brought me comfort. One was stopping and taking a moment to take in a deep breath of air, and the other was going on long walks in the woods with people you love. Maybe that's what it's like following Christ, I believe. In those moments, he will bring you to the unknown. In that moment, you stop, you take in a deep breath of air, you inhale his love, and you exhale the fears. And also, maybe it's like a long walk in the woods, I believe. Because sometimes your Savior will take you into the valley low. And guess what? He'll take you to those quiet waters. And then maybe he'll even take you up the mountaintop. And you get to enjoy those splendid views with your Savior. City Light Church, adventure in life is calling your name. It sounds like sweet redemption. It sounds like freedom. Don't let your fear keep you in the shadows this morning. Also in this passage, for the Pharisees, we see that unbelief is the one thing keeping them in the dark. We'll talk about that more later, though. But also the last thing that keeps us in the dark, I believe, is our idols for us as a people. In City Light, an idol is more than a block of wood, a piece of stone. An idol is that person, place, or thing that you have above God. An idol is something you draw strength from and you give your strength to. So this morning, what is that idol? If I can use a Pastor Mike-ism, pop the hood on that. Figure that out. Examine that. I believe the voices of the idols are calling our names this morning. So my question for you is, do you still find Jesus to be beautiful? Is he still wonderful to you? Is he still glorious to you? Because maybe I think our idols, we find those to be more attractive. So City Light, this morning, we choose to shine the light and turn up the heat on our idols until they are ashes, until our hearts are captivated by the beauty of Christ. Today, we stop feeding and nurturing the darkness, and we step into the light. Beloved, this is your God. He's a God that brings you out to bring you in. He brought you out of darkness to bring you into light. He brought you out of anxiety to bring you into joy. He brought you out of fear to bring you into faith. So this morning, we follow Christ out of the darkness. The Savior is offering you life in the light. You weren't made to hide. You were made to be alive in the presence of God. You were made for love and loving God. So this morning, we step forward into the light. Darkness is whispering sweet nothings, but the Savior is whispering freedom and redemption. So this morning, if you're looking for a place to be, a place to belong, City Light, there is a seat at the table just for you this morning. It's right here in the light. So this morning, if you're looking for joy unending, eternal pleasures, and love that never fades. It's here in the light. If you're looking for wisdom, joy, peace, it's here in the light. If you're looking for purpose, identity, your destiny, it is here in the light. The Savior is telling us to follow him out of the shadows. Jesus has overcome the darkness in the world and the darkness in our lives. Church family, the cross has put the darkness to shame. And because of that, this morning we fall on bended knees and we let our praises loose as they echo through an empty grave. Church family, you were made to be alive. Step in the light. Second point is that we judge correctly. So in this text, Jesus is comparing his judgment to that of the Pharisees. There is a right way to judge and there is a wrong way to judge. These Pharisees, they judge according to their flesh. Jesus, he judged according by his righteousness and is pure. We see in that text that there's only one person who has the authority to judge, and it's Jesus. Why? Because he is holy. And when God gave a law, we chose to disobey it. And guess what? There has to be justice for that. We see in John 3:17 that he did not come into the world to condemn it, but he came to save it. Somebody once told me that God is in the business of saving souls. If that's true, which it is, then why are we in the business of condemning others about their sin? The past few years here in the American church, there's been a lot of scandals, church members, church leaders. And if you see that on the news, if you're quick to judge that situation, you might want to take a step back from that. Because anytime God exposes somebody's sin out into public, I think it would be best, be wise, if we stop for a moment to reflect on our own sin. Let these words humble you, City Light. The Bible is not a set of binoculars for you to look into someone else's life to see how broken they are. No, but the Bible is a mirror so you see how broken you are and that you need a Savior. Also, I believe another reason why it's easy for us to judge others is because we easily judge ourselves. Just for a quick moment, can we talk about self-condemnation, self-judgment, self-hate? You know what that sounds like? I'm not good enough. I don't belong at this job. I don't know if I'm called to lead this ministry or this church. I'm not a good enough dad or mom. That's what it sounds like. So guess what? We walk around our lives telling people, you're not good enough, because we told ourselves so many times, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy to be loved, so guess what? You're not worthy to be loved. I'm not good enough, so guess what? You're not good enough. Church family, the judgment of others is nothing more than an extension of the self-judgment of ourselves, I believe. But you know what? You're right. You're not good enough. But in Christ, you're called, you're chosen, you're complete, you're loved, you are a kingdom of priests. So this morning, that stronghold, that giant of self-judgment and self-condemnation, that can't come down today. Third point, Jesus is the light of the world, therefore we believe. The problem in this text, City Light, that the Pharisees couldn't believe that Jesus is who he said he is. The problem isn't revelation, because God has revealed himself in creation, in scripture, through his son. But these men refused to believe it and see it. I think maybe their expectations got in the way of blocking the view of God. And maybe that's the problem with us, I believe. Our expectations have gotten in the way of God wanting to move in our lives. We even come to church with these expectations, I believe. Because when I come to church, I expect the coffee to be ready for me. I expect them to have that program and this program. I expect the band to play that one song, and they better play in the key of D major, because that's my favorite key, and that's the key I get my worship on. I expect the preacher to be funny, charismatic, gifted. And guess what? If the church does not meet my expectations, I'm gone. I'm leaving. But also, we do that with God, I believe. I expect God to behave like this. I expect God to do this for me. And that's what the Pharisees wanted. And if God does not meet my expectations, then guess what? I'm leaving. I'm done. I'll find my own God. So my question for us this morning, are we willing to lay down our expectations and allow God to take us to somewhere new? City Light, somewhere we haven't been before. I believe that God has an amazing future for you, for us, for this church. but I think it hinges on us laying down our expectations. So today, we ask God to burn away those old ways of thinking that stands in the way of the new places he wants to take us. It starts with trading in our expectations for anticipation. So, beloved, we come into this space with hearts abandoned, saying, God, my heart, my mind is an open space for you to come and have your way. This morning, we set aside our agendas and we leave our expectations at the door. And we step into this atmosphere of worship where words escape us and time stops for just a moment. And we stand in awe of the glory of God. We no longer have our expectations, but we are just worshiping God. One of the cool things I see in this text is how Jesus doesn't leave this conversation. He's still here engaging with these men, even though they doubt, even with their unbelief. If this was me, I would have left 10 verses ago, or maybe the chapter ago. But he's still here. City Light, we can learn something from this, I think, because we all have family members and friends who are unbelievers. And for the past weeks, months, and years, we've been sharing the gospel, and they still don't get it. Be like Jesus. Continue that conversation going. Don't grow weary. Don't grow in the towel. Don't throw in the towel. You keep staying there with that person. Why? Because that's what Jesus did for us. He loved us through our questions and our doubts and our fears. He did not walk away from the table. So be patient with that family member. And guess what? Many will believe, as we see later on. In verse 21, Jesus makes a bold statement about his death. Now, this statement isn't a statement to break the internet or to create buzz. This is a warning to these men. If you do not believe, if you do not repent, you will die in your sins and you cannot go where I'm going, which is back to the Father, back to heaven. We see in verse 25, they ask a question, who are you? What kind of question is that, guys? He's been making it clear since the beginning of his ministry, since the beginning of the Gospel of John, who he is. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the Word. He is Yahweh's glory revealed to us in flesh and bones. He is the great I am. He is the fountain of living waters. He is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. Who are you, they ask? It's simple. He is Jesus, the Messiah, the one true God. But sadly, they couldn't see it. They missed it. The one standing in front of them was the Messiah. And now he makes it clear in 28, verse 28, he says, if the scriptures aren't enough for you, if my testimony is enough for you, then guess what? The cross will be the final word. The cross will confirm that he is sent by the Father and that he is the revelation of God. I know it's early, so I don't mean to rattle your theology this morning, but can I tell you, the cross is not about you? No. That Yohansi, Christ died for me, for my sins, so that I can go to heaven. And you're right, that's half of it. But City Light, the cross is simply about God and the glory of God being put on display. The cross is about the exaltation and the glorification of one man, and that is Jesus. So when these men see that he is on the cross, they will worship and believe. Then lastly, in verse 30, we see that many did believe. City Light, imagine if Jesus got frustrated and walked away from this conversation. Many of people would have missed out on the gospel, on this good news. But he stayed there, engaging in the conversation. So, beloved, continue sharing this good news. Continue sharing this light with those in your lives. Church family, this is our story this morning. It's the story of a God from the beginning of time has revealed himself to us, making it clear he is the one true God. It's the story of a God who shouted your name into the darkness and you came walking out. It's the story of a God who brought you out to bring you in. This is a story of a God who knew your name before the earth was formed. This is a story of a good father, a mighty king, a king who hung on a piece of wood for 6 hours on a hill called Calvary to pay your ransom. This is a story of a risen king who is alive. And guess what? We can be made alive too. Alive to move, to run, to jump, to dance, to sing his praises so loudly, we shake this city and this world. So this morning, we are thankful for this story. We are thankful for the glory that dripped down the cross through the ages of time, which has made its way into our hearts this morning. So this morning, if you feel like you're not a part of this story, I plead with you to give your breath and your life to a story that has no end. The story of Jesus, the one that was and is to come, the one that was begotten, not made, God begotten God, true light begotten, true light. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for this light. We're grateful that you have made yourself known to us through your son, Jesus. So, Father, this morning we follow you even when our idols tell us not to. We follow you even when we have no voice left to sing your praises. We follow you, Father. Thank you for bringing us out of darkness into your marvelous light. We're grateful. We love you. Your name. Amen.